Chapter 2, verse 13. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake, and a large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. And as he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus told him. And Levi got up and followed him. And while Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. And when the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat and with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Well, praise God, that is the case. Turn to 7. This evening I want to continue what I started last week. It's a bit of a neighbourhood watch theme going on, because we were in a house last week with a hole in the roof. It was where those friends had lowered down the paralysed man in front of Jesus. And I said to you, Mark chapter 1, 2 and 3, there seem to be a lot of houses. Jesus is in and out of everybody's houses. And there's always something happening when he's in the home there amongst the people of Capernaum. You don't get to hear what goes on in the vestry before we come out. We do pray, okay, and that is a great encouragement. But tonight we were bemoaning our ailments, really, I guess, before we prayed. I think that's true to say. Sometimes a bit of banter as well, a bit of humour. And it's strange how humour and sickness rub alongside together, perhaps sometimes just to take something of the edge of the pain away. You perhaps be aware of the doctor-doctor jokes. Always seems rather strange to me to make a joke of visiting the doctor. I don't go very often personally, and I have to be very unwell to go, and certainly it's no laughing matter. But somebody somewhere has made a living, a life, a work out of these. I say these. I don't want to. I'll read two. I was going to read more, but I'm not a stand-up comedian, and that's inappropriate. Doctor, doctor, I think I'm a bell. Well, take these, and if it doesn't help, give me a ring. Oh, this one. Doctor, doctor, I've not heard this one before. When I press my finger here, it hurts. And here, it hurts. And here, and here, and here, and here. What's wrong with me? You got a broken finger. Okay. Oh, okay. Well, trust you get more than that this evening. But anyway, but it is, it's kind of, I don't know, it's strange, I suppose, you know. Anyway. But if you've been to the doctors, and when you hear your name called, I wonder how you feel. A bit apprehensive, worried, or perhaps just relieved at least an expert may be able to help you. As I say, I don't go to the doctors very often, and when I have been, often I've felt like sort of I'm troubling them. And so, probably because I wasn't that ill, I suppose, and you know. But but sometimes people, as I say, you go in fear and trepidation. What is it? But you trust yourself to them. You know, they know something of the anatomy of the body. They know what these signs and symptoms are. And hopefully their diagnosis will be accurate. You know, Jesus is the great physician. Capernaum knew no national health service. Let's put ourselves back in time. I don't want to stay back in time. This is not some history lecture. But there's no national health service. So no wonder when Jesus is in town, the whole town turns up. It's not that, well, it probably was that they were all sick in different ways, but it was just so unique, so different. Someone to help them in their community, to change things, to change their life. And to set them free from the sickness and the suffering that they were enduring. How amazing then, Jesus should take every opportunity, But it says very clearly in Mark chapter 1, even after sunset, to heal many, they all came to him in the hope of him touching their lives and making a difference physically to them. Now we know, of course, his primary concern was the souls of men, because preaching was what he came to do. Preaching is what he wanted to do. The healing, yes, and the signs were of his power were demonstrations of the kingdom. But he was keen to move from place to place, that the message may get from place to place. The good news of the kingdom advancing. And as I read that short reading to you of the call of Levi, also known as Matthew, basically what is happening there is Matthew, Levi, is being chosen to be one of the disciples to help, to assist in bringing the kingdom, spreading the news, going from place to place to minister in that same power, to work with Jesus as his disciple, a learner alongside the others. And so this evening I just want to look at this passage in regard to Levi, and I want to think about our Lord Jesus and how he deals with him, how he deals with his friends, and how he deals with those who oppose what's going on as well. Just to remind ourselves of our Lord's love and compassion and desire to, you know, to make a difference to those around him. So let us begin first of all with Jesus' call directed to the unlikely. He saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus told him. And Levi got up and followed him. You know other tax collectors, don't you, in Scripture? You know that it was not a very popular job. If you had a job as a tax collector, it was all right for you, but you were considered a traitor. You were working for Rome. You were picking the pockets of your neighborhood, your community. But this man's called Levi. Now, Levi, of course, is a significant name amongst Israel. Levi, the third son of Jacob. Levi, leading to the Levites, the priestly servants of the Lord. Levi actually means joined in harmony. That's what his name means, joined in harmony. But where is he in this situation? A tax collector's booth collecting money. He's certainly not living up to his name. There's no harmony between him and the villagers. There's no harmony. How has it come to this? He's joined to Rome rather than as he should be with his people. But we know through Jesus' call to him that he leaves that. He comes away from that, and through faith was joined to Jesus. While I'm mentioning names, Alphaeus is a very common name of a certain generation. You know, you get certain names that ebb and flow, don't you, through history. Alphaeus was his father's name. He's Levi, son of Alphaeus. Alphaeus means changing. And you can imagine the generation calling their son changing, or other names based on that, wanting change, wanting things to change, wanting things to be different. Change was needed. Alphaeus' parents had seen that, and he'd called his boy Levi, and now this is what his boy's doing in Capernaum. Well, thankfully, Jesus came to town. Jesus came to change things. And in these few verses, and they are only just a few verses, there's a transformation takes place. For Levi, there's now a new position. He got up from sitting at the booth. Literally, he was in a new position. He moved from there to there and started to walk with Jesus. He walked away from his old life. A new position and a new purpose. For now he followed Jesus. He left behind, well, yes, perhaps the security, but the stigma too of what he had done. But he left it to follow Jesus. Now the wonder of this is, you know, Jesus called him directly. There was a vast crowd of people, many people to choose from, and they were all hanging on Jesus' words. But he went and saw through, as it were, and saw the heart of Levi and called him. Saw through the crowd and called him personally. It's what Jesus does, isn't it, if you think about it? I mean, who are you? Who am I to be called by him? You know, what do we have to offer? Yet he sees our hearts, sees our mistakes, sees where we've ended up in many respects. And then he calls us to himself. The Bible speaks a lot about the call upon a Christian's life. I heard a little of this morning. David was speaking and mentioned the calling out of darkness into the glorious light through the gospel in 1 Peter chapter 2. Called out of darkness to declare the praises of God as a chosen people and a royal priesthood. Yes, we're singing a few hymns this evening, and I hope you've thought, oh, that's nice. We've not sung that for a while, and it's, you know, it stirs something within us. But, you know, we are doing more than that. We are declaring the praises of our God. We're singing of his amazing grace towards us. We're singing of the way we can call upon him, that he does indeed hear our prayers. A chosen people through faith in the Lord Jesus, a royal priesthood ministering before the Lord. Yes, we have pastors, we have leadership, but each one of us can call upon the Lord. We are a priesthood. Priest of all believers. We've been called out of darkness, out of the old ways, just as Levi was called from his old ways. To leave those behind and to go into and walk in the light. The light of God's word, the light of his truth. We're called out of darkness. Paul also says we're called to be free. Galatians 5. And then he says you're called to be free to serve one another. Which seems a bit of a contradiction. You're called to serve. You're free to serve. The world doesn't see freedom that way. Freedom is to be served. Freedom is not to have a care in the world. Not to be connected, to be responsible for anything or anyone. But that's not Christian freedom. Christian freedom is a freedom from sin and a new purpose, a new direction. True freedom is found in doing God's will. And so you see the story of Levi and you see what happens. He got up and he walked away from his tax collecting booth. He was free. But Jesus said, follow me. And as he followed him and went with him for those 3 years of ministry, he was free. He signed up to serve, but he was free. And it's the same for you and for me. We're called to be free, to leave behind our old ways, our old sins, to walk with Jesus in the light of his word. But as servants, to serve him, to serve one another in his name. Paul also says you're called to be pure. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 7. To live a holy life with your body under control is how he phrases it. Again, to be where the Lord would want us to be, doing the things he would want us to be doing. Not just with our lips, offering him lip service, but serving him with body, mind and spirit, with all that we are. Living a pure life, purely for Jesus. And in Corinthians he says you're called to live in peace. Elsewhere he clarifies that as much as it's possible to do so, as long as it's, you know, in your realm to live in peace. Live in peace. Don't make trouble. Don't stir things up. In fact, that passage in 1 Corinthians 7 is in the context of marriage relationship, but it's true for every believer, different aspects of our lives, to live in peace. As we heard this morning, grace and peace go together in the greetings in Scripture, and they go together completely because grace brings peace, and through peace, the peace of God, we know the grace of God. Darkness to light, freedom, purity, peace. All these are found through Jesus. He brings us out of darkness. We're made alive in Christ. We can't get out of it ourselves, from darkness to light ourselves. He makes us alive and then shows us the way, brings us out. He's the one who gives the freedom, the purity and the peace. And so Jesus' call to the most unlikely of disciples at the tax collector's booth, Jesus' call to Levi, transform things for him. Has Jesus transformed your life? Has he moved you from where you were into something new? New purpose, new direction. Things were never the same for Levi. He was not back on the job the following Monday. He was away where Jesus went, following Jesus. And we're glad he did, aren't we? If you read your Bible and you have Matthew's Gospel, aren't you glad that this man followed and this man committed himself to writing down what he saw? What a ministry, what a blessing. From writing in neat little columns, the people's monies, he wrote in very neat little columns for us the Scripture, inspired of the Holy Spirit, that we might understand what our Saviour said and did for us. Jesus' call directed to the unlikely. Have you heard the call of Jesus? Have you responded to it personally? Secondly, though, note Jesus' company displeased the religious. Here's a reminder to us, if we needed it, that the church is a hospital for sinners, not a mausoleum for saints. It's a hospital for sinners. And I love the way that Jesus has this meal with Levi and all the tax collectors and the sinners in town all gather together. And you get this contrast, this conflict even, between the Pharisees and this group that were meeting at Levi's house. Now remember what happened last week. Remember how Jesus upset them when he started to speak about the forgiveness of sins. So on the back of this is another day, another situation. But again, it's something else that's forcing a wedge between the two. Levi invites Jesus round for a meal, in contrast to the other tax collector I know, called Zacchaeus, who basically got forced to invite Jesus round for tea. It went the other way here. Levi, so grateful that he, you know, no doubt had heard what Jesus had been saying, would have been aware of all that was going on in his town, to have got that call, to have the privilege to go with him. He has a meal. Don't think much of that, but food and fellowship. Monday night, if you can go. But no, but food and fellowship go together. I mean, have you ever tried to have a meal with somebody that you weren't speaking to? You couldn't get on with? That is awkward. But to have people around you who are with you, sharing in something with you, I mean, how precious that is. This is not a rerun of this morning's message, but I just want to read this verse again from Revelation 3:20 that came up this morning. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and eat with him and he with me. Fellowship eating together. Levi invites Jesus. There is an agreement between them. There is a fellowship amongst them as they gather around the table. And the Lord Jesus wants that for us, for you and for me. Yes, it's the challenge to the church at Laodicea. And, a challenge to us all. Have we left Jesus outside a matter that we're dealing with? He's standing knocking at the door. Will we give it over to him? Will we welcome him in? Will we share over the table with him? I mean, what a gracious Saviour we had. David made the point very clearly this morning. But, I mean, in verse 21, it goes on to say, to him who overcomes, this is the church at Laodicea, I'll give the right to sit with me on my throne. Yes, I could spew you out of my mouth because of your lukewarmness. But to those who overcome, I'll give the right to sit with me on my throne. You know, anywhere, Lord, just at your feet. No, come and sit with me on the throne, it says. Such is the fellowship the Lord wants with those who walk with him, who follow him. And so Levi invites Jesus round for this meal. But yes, Jesus receives what Levi offers, but he's giving far more, isn't he, at that table? He's feeding the people himself as he speaks, as they hang upon his words. And in the same way, as we fellowship with the Lord and hang upon his words, he wants to feed our hearts as well. But are we leaving him out of things? Can we hear him knocking? Are we responding to that call that he makes upon us? Well, back in Capernaum, as I say, I don't know how the houses were. They weren't terraced back to backs, I'm sure. They were dotted around, I'm sure. There must have been land in between because they worked the agriculture around them. You know, but a bit at one end of the town, let's say, there's the house with the roof with a hole in it. And a little bit further down, now there's a bit of a rowdy party going on. And there's always one of those houses in the neighbourhood, isn't there? There's always somebody like that. But not in an uncaring way. This was a celebration, a party in the right sense of freedom for Levi. Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, and many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him. They were feeding on everything Jesus was saying. Because it says that there were many who followed him. Sinners, tax collectors. As I say, we know a few. Zacchaeus, not from this circuit, but you know, later on we'll meet Zacchaeus. Sinners like Mary Magdalene and others. Levi's home, in a sense, I'm sure, was a bit of a rowdy house. It's not easy to have a big crowd of people without making some noise. And so much so that the neighbours complained. Well, that happens in neighbourhoods as well. But these neighbours were the religious leaders. These people had a different agenda, a different problem. I don't think it was the noise and people enjoying themselves that was the issue. But it was what was the deeper thing that was going on. And that brings me really to the main point of the message, the focus on Jesus' concern as the doctor to the sick. Now, I've mentioned already how in the very, after sunset, he would still make himself available to those in the community. Open all hours, on call. This is our Saviour. Open all hours, on call. You know as well as I do, unfortunately, illness is often inconvenient. It's not a 9-to-5 thing, is it? Thankfully, we have one who is a physician, a great physician. The one who's there for us to call out to. How comforting to know we can call upon the Lord any time or anywhere. Jesus explains, the healthy don't need a doctor. I've not come to call the righteous. Now, if you know your scripture, if you know particularly it's put together for us quite nicely there in Romans chapter 3. There is no one who is righteous. Jesus is not saying, I've only come for a few and the rest of you on your merry way. He's came for the world because there was no one righteous and there still is no one righteous on this planet without Jesus Christ. All have turned away, Paul writes in Romans 3. No one who does good, not even one. You might be saying, well, but I try my best. I do all I can. I'm not as bad as this one. I'm not as bad as that one. But no one is righteous. You know, look at your football league tables, all right? You have your Manchester Cities, you have your Macclesfield Town and Notts County. They're kind of the top and bottoms of the leagues, for those who don't know. But neither Manchester City nor Notts County and Macclesfield have won all their games, have done everything perfectly. They've all missed the mark, all dropped points. So whether this evening you feel like Manchester City or whether you feel like Notts County, that's top and bottom of them all. The reality is we're all in the same boat. In Romans 3, Paul puts together a number of scriptures from the Old Testament. And he quotes from Ecclesiastes 7. There is not a righteous man on earth who does what is right and never sins. That's quite emphatic. And if you know Ecclesiastes, you get that phrase that keeps coming again and again, under the sun, under the sun. Nothing new, under the sun. Everything is under the sun. Well, thank God, help came from heaven itself, from above the sun. From heaven, God sent his son to give his life. The righteous for the unrighteous. The wonder of Romans 3 is that it doesn't just say, oh, we're all poor, stinking, miserable, unrighteous folk. It does say that. But it goes on then to say, but a righteousness from heaven has been given. And goes on to explain through the Lord Jesus Christ, through what he did for us on the cross. We all need a doctor. We all need this doctor, the Lord Jesus Christ. Even those who started to follow him, including Levi now, need a doctor. They need to spend time with him. More than an annual checkup, they needed time with the doctor. If you read the first three chapters of Mark, as I encourage you to do, I mean, you can read the whole gospel, but those first three chapters, there really is a flow to it. You hear about John preparing the way and what he came to preach, and then you hear of him going into prison, being imprisoned, and then you hear of Jesus' ministry beginning, and you hear what Jesus preached. Repent and believe the good news. Repent, turn around, stop sinning. Believe, the doctor is saying, take the medicine. Believe and start living. Stop sinning, start living. And when you think about Levi, because it's a bit easier to think about him rather than yourself, when Jesus says to him, follow me, what is Jesus really saying as his doctor? He's saying, I'm putting you on a course of treatment, Levi. If you do this and you come this way, you'll see an improvement. From the life that you knew, you'll see something different. After all, he's giving him daily exercise. Going where Jesus went, from place to place with the good news. He's giving him a daily diet, taking in all that Jesus would say. Food, the bread of life for his soul. In following Jesus, he's getting more healthy. He's getting more the way he should be, the way God wants him to be. And it's the same for you and for me. Now, I know through the cross, of course, the price has been paid for our sins. The righteous, as I say, for the unrighteous. We are made righteous through what Christ did for us there at Calvary. But as we go on from and walk with him, he works in our lives to make us more like Jesus in our daily walk, in the things that we do, in the exercise and the diet, spiritually speaking, that we have. Oh, but Jesus is a friend of sinners. We've seen that in the company that he keeps. He's a refuge for sinners. They gather around him. They're drawn to him. What he has is what they need. Yes, the healing, but more than that, the righteousness, the right way of living. And as Jesus sat surrounded by tax collectors and sinners, I'm sure there must be a corporate name for a group of such folk. It's not just a refuge, but it's a refectory for sinners, isn't it? They're all sat round there feeding, literally, upon him. And there were those who criticized him for this, opposed him in this. But as we're told in Hebrews chapter 2 of the Lord Jesus, he's not ashamed to call them brothers. The one who makes men holy. He is holy, perfect, pure in all his ways. He makes us holy. He is righteous. He makes us righteous. He's not ashamed to call them brothers. I mean, can you imagine a doctor that could go nowhere near sickness? A doctor who, you know, you couldn't do the job, if you were like that, if you were scared of the germs or the impact it might have upon you. No, Jesus is right there in the midst of them, making a difference. Wants to do that for you, and wants to do that in our community too, make that difference. Why did the religious object to Jesus' actions? Have you ever thought that through? Wasn't that they were just, you know, the party is a bit too loud. You look like you're having too much fun. You know, it wasn't that. They failed to recognize their need. They considered themselves righteous. Behind their actions is pride. Who is he coming in saying anything but that? We've done this, we've done that, we've done the other. Their pride was in themselves, in their actions. But as we've already seen, no one is righteous. No, not even one. And they rejected that others could change. I think part of this is seen in that parable that Jesus teaches of the Pharisee and the publican at prayer. I'm glad I'm not like this man. Because if you know people that somehow seem worse than you, it makes you look better. And so they rejected others could change. The faults of others helped confirm the illusion that they were righteous. I'm not like this man. So again, pride. And pride is behind all sin, of course. But they rejected Jesus. This was the major thing, wasn't it? We've seen it already when he speaks of the forgiveness of sins. Who but God can do that? They've dismissed him out of hand. And in the same way, seek to dismiss him in changing the community around them. They rejected who he was. They rejected what he said. Now, we've thought a lot about Levi and Capernaum back in the day. But what about our community? What about where we live? 2019, pride is still a big problem, isn't it? How many self-improvement books are there produced every year? People desperate, doing their bit to be better themselves and not acknowledging their need of the Lord. That's not to say it's, you know, people want to make improvements to their life, but Jesus is the one who can do that in every area, in every realm, in every part. Some misunderstand grace. Why should Levi get a second chance? He's blown it. You know, let him rot with the Romans. But no. And thankfully God doesn't say to us, of us, oh, let them rot. They made poor choices. They've done it wrong. They've got it. No, it's grace. Grace. But with that, Levi commits himself to Jesus to make a difference, to go a better way, to do it differently. So it isn't grace and, you know, it doesn't matter what the consequences are. But it's grace and then a commitment and a love to serve the Lord. There are those around who misunderstand the gospel message. And of course, they need the Spirit's enabling to understand it. We didn't understand it at first either. But as we spend time with Jesus, as we show a different way, lives changed and transformed, our neighbourhood will be able to see that difference. The Christian faith is a relationship, isn't it? It's not religion. It's not religion, it's relationship. We need to keep going to our doctor, to our great physician. We need to heed his call and do things his way. Keep following his directions. Keep finding fellowship in the sinner's refuge, aka the church. Keep encouraging others to come along with us that they might meet the physician themselves. They might hear his words and might know his touch. The one who heals both body and soul. This is our Saviour. This is what these verses reveal of him. What a difference to Levi. What a difference for you and for me, yes? What a difference to know his concern for us. He wants. He is our great physician. He is the one who wants to bring that healing. He wants, through us, to bring that healing to others too. The healing of the soul through the forgiveness of sins, the message of the gospel. So let us not be as the religious. Let us not dismiss our community, our world as too far gone. Past its sell-by date. Spiritually bankrupt, yes. But we have a Saviour who's paid the price in full for all who believe. So let us give the message to them that they might believe, that they might come, and they might know that healing, that touch from the words and the actions of our Saviour. Amen. Lord, that is our longing. We long for this world to be transformed and changed. We long for our community around us to know your healing touch, to know forgiveness of sins, to know life eternal through faith in you, to know your power at work in their lives. So many are caught by, Lord, addictions and the traps of this world and the enemy. Lord, you're the only one who can set them free. You're the one who makes the difference. Lord, as you did to Levi, do to others, even in our community this week. Help us to show that we are following you. Help us to speak of the difference it makes. And Lord, deepen our walk with you. Be the doctor to each one of us. Grant us, Lord, that course of medicine through the week in our daily quiet times and walk with you to be strengthened daily. Lord, to exercise with you, and Lord, just to be all that we can be. Make us more like you, we pray, Lord, by your Holy Spirit. Seal your word in our hearts that we might reflect upon Levi and his response to you. And may we, in similar way, Lord, be as keen to go your way and to seek to bring others with us. In Jesus' name, amen.